Welcome to New World Notes. I am Kenneth Doust. Today's Hodgepodge will take a look at GMOs, genetically altered plants masquerading as food. We'll take a look at a couple of recent attempts to require labeling of GMO food products. One of these attempts was right here in Connecticut. We'll start off by celebrating the opposite of GMOs, and that is real food. And we ask the age-old question, should you burn a gallon of gasoline to buy a quart of the best tomatoes you've ever had in your life? I hope you'll stay tuned. Well, it's still winter here in darkest Connecticut. In the unlikely event you can't tell that by looking out the window, you sure can tell it at the supermarket. You may recall that this summer I got really into local produce, from farm stands and the various small weekly farmers markets we have in these parts. And thanks to them, I actually discovered some new foods that I've come to really, really like. Four new foods, in fact. Did you ever try kale? It's a big leafy green, a little stronger tasting than lettuce. It's got a little hint of bitterness and a little hint of sweetness. Put it in a tossed salad or use it in a wrap. It's delicious. I have to thank a local farmer just down the road in South Glastonbury for introducing me to kale. Number two, then I discovered leeks. A leek is sort of a very tall, very fat green onion. It tastes like a big fat green onion, too. You can eat both the bulb and the green shoots above it. Perks up a salad very nicely, or you can add it to soups, pizza, stir-fry, wraps, whatever. Number three, and then at a farmer's market, I discovered poblano peppers. This looks just like a green bell pepper, but has some flavor, and has a great mild to medium spiciness to it. These are harder to find around here. Most farmers who grow peppers grow the bland, standard commercial stuff. Gotta hit the right farmer's market at the right time, but worth the trouble. Then there was one sort of heirloom tomato. I never did find out the name of the variety. It is the meatiest, firmest, least watery, most delicious tomato I've ever eaten. Better than you ever grew in your own backyard. I found only one source for these beauties, and it takes over a gallon of gas to get there and back. Not good. Conceivably, next year I can get in good enough shape to do it by bicycle. But half of those 40 miles is pretty hilly. So we'll see. 30 years ago, it would have been a cinch. But anyway, that was summer, and now it's winter. And the produce that I eat comes not from local farms, but from the corporate-controlled agribusiness supermarket. Well, the good news is that the kale there is good, better than their lettuce, and the supermarket leeks are quite decent. But at my friendly neighborhood supermarket, the poblano peppers are not to be found. The green bell peppers are watery and tasteless. And as at all supermarkets, the tomatoes are beneath contempt. Half the fruits come from Chile, half the green vegetables come from Peru, and who knows what kinds of chemicals they were sprayed with. For that matter, who knows what kind of chemicals the American produce is sprayed with? Well, somebody does know, but he's not required to tell us. We don't count, we're just the people who buy and eat the stuff. Anyway, in Connecticut, winter is the time when, if you want food, you have to settle for something close enough. I guess our New England ancestors would go to the basement and bring up a mason jar of something that was recognizably food 6 months earlier. Then soak some dried beans, maybe kill a rabbit, and you can stay alive until the next harvest. We have the supermarket instead, which I guess is a bit of an improvement. Forget about the tomatoes and green peppers, but the romaine is reliable, the leeks are pretty good, and the kale is almost as good as local. Today we'll look some more at the food supply. GMOs have been in the news lately. GMO, genetically modified organisms. Specifically, genetically modified plants served up as food. There's something about the letters M-O that just screams, "Stay away!" In the tough guy film noir crime movies, the detective is always asking about the dastardly criminal, "What's his M-O?" Ever try the patent medicine, Haley's M-O? It'll go right through you. On the healthcare scene, we are now cursed with HMOs. Well, what HMOs are to medicine, GMOs are to food. As I say, the letters M-O just scream, "Stay away!" Apologies to any listeners in Missouri. There is major public opposition to GMO food in Europe, and most civilized countries require that it be labeled as such. Agribusiness knows that if they put GMO on the label, most consumers won't buy it. So for Europe, they choose to make food products without GMO ingredients. Everybody wins. In America, they know that if they put it on the label, many consumers won't buy it. So their lobbyists spend millions of dollars, probably billions by now, making sure that neither the FDA nor Congress nor any state legislature will require that the presence of GMOs be noted on the label. This past November, a California ballot initiative to require labeling was defeated. Corporate agribusiness ponied up $46 million and flooded the California airwaves with propaganda to make sure the initiative was defeated. We'll hear some more about that in a minute. I just discovered that something similar had happened right here in Connecticut last May. There is a strong popular movement here in Connecticut to require labeling of GMO foods, and a bill to do so was introduced in the state legislature last session. Thanks to State Representative Richard Roy of Milford. But corporate agribusiness saw to it that the bill got killed in committee. I missed this news entirely. Did you hear anything about it? It turns out that the story was reported fairly decently by the local Fox TV affiliate. It pains me to say it, but Rupert Murdoch's local gang produced some fairly respectable real journalism. Anyway, let's have a listen and hear how Connecticut's own GMO labeling bill got killed before it even came to a vote in Hartford. The news story starts with a lad demonstrating some Yankee Emersonian self-reliance. He's going into supermarkets and sticking his own GMO warning label on food products.
They're in 80% of the food we eat, but some say genetically modified organisms pose serious health risks.
Tonight, Bo Berman tells us what GMOs are and why some people in Connecticut are breaking the law and risking arrest to tell you what you're eating.
During Connecticut's last legislative session, a bill mandating the labeling of foods with genetically engineered ingredients nearly passed. And on Election Day last week in California, they voted down a similar measure that would have required labeling there. But here in Connecticut, some say foods with GMO are too dangerous to wait, so they're taking labeling into their own hands, legal or not.
I just walk into the store.
Nobody in this store knows exactly what Seth Wilson is up to.
This has like six ingredients, that could be.
That he's on a mission to label these foods that he thinks contain something called GMOs, issuing a warning to consumers.
I think that people have a basic right to know what they're eating.
GMOs are genetically modified organisms. They're also known as genetically engineered foods.
And you'll find these foods all over the shelves of your grocery store. GMOs, which first started getting used in food about 15 years ago to help make crops pesticide resistant. They're meant to help companies produce more food for their money, and the FDA says they're safe. But not everyone is stocking up.
The majority of soy in this country is genetically modified.
Mother of three and activist Tara Cook Littman doesn't eat anything with GMOs.
There are animal studies that link GMOs with infertility, with allergies, with gastrointestinal disease, with autism, with cancer.
Most American corn, soy, sugar beets, cotton for cottonseed oil, and canola crops are genetically modified and feared dangerous by those like Littman who are pushing for mandated product labeling. not with skull and crossbones, but at the state policy level.
So some people might be eating pesticides.
Yes.
Representative Richard Roy passed cell phone and driving safety laws in Connecticut. His latest target, a bill to tackle GMOs, pitched last session.
That bill proposed labeling any food products that contained GMOs.
Some manufacturers voluntarily label their products as GMO-free, but if a law is enacted, every single product on the supermarket shelves that contains GMO would have to say so. But on a larger scale, the hope is that manufacturers, instead of saying, hey, this product has GMO inside, will instead take the GMO out of the product.
If you're hiding the truth, it's bad.
Representative Roy says that if China, Europe, and dozens of other nations require GMO labeling, the U.S. should too. But the Connecticut Farm Bureau, Connecticut Food Association, and corporations like Monsanto, which make the seeds for GMO crops, say it's not needed.
I believe they are spreading fear that is not warranted.
We're going to have expense in this. This is going to drive up the cost of foods because we're going to have to maintain different labels, different inventory.
Despite majority support among legislators, the GMO labeling bill was vetoed at the last minute, raising questions.
The influence of Monsanto and the biotech industry is so strong that even the whisper of a threat, even the thought that there could be a threat of a lawsuit against Connecticut for bringing a GMO labeling bill, definitely had an impact on this bill's death.
Safety and health concerns should trump cost, according to Roy, who agrees with Littman in saying that the labeling provision was eliminated from the bill due to fears it opened the state up to a lawsuit.
All we have to do is start getting a couple of bodies, and then we can ask, how many people do we want dead?
No documented human deaths have been linked to GMOs, but an experiment conducted at a French university released in September claims that a diet of only genetically modified corn caused tumors and organ damage in rats. Seth isn't ready to call GMOs a killer, but he says he'll break one law until a different one gets passed.
Asking for a label on our food is a very minor request, and the fact that they're so adamant about not granting it, to me, says more about GMOs than anything else.
Now, Monsanto provided us a statement in response to our request for an interview saying, quote, Monsanto has been involved in state labeling bills through our membership and associations, including the Grocery Manufacturers Association and the Biotech Industry Association. And in certain states, such as Connecticut, Monsanto has registered lobbyists. We participate to represent our interests. Our farmer customers encourage us to be involved. In the studio, Bo Berman, Fox, Connecticut.
The governor's office says some of the state's legislative council attorneys were concerned about a lawsuit, but the GMO bill never reached Governor Malloy's desk.
Meanwhile, as of this evening, Kellogg's, the makers of Cheez-Its, has not responded to us to confirm or deny whether their product contains GMOs.
Yes, you heard that right at the end. While you and I and all the corporate media were worried sick about whether Hostess would go out of business, while we were all frantically stockpiling Hostess Twinkies, Kellogg of Battle Creek was gobbling up Sunshine Biscuit Company. So now Sunshine's flagship product, Cheez-Its, is now made by Kellogg's. And the best to you each morning. And speaking of GMOs, let's get back to the California story. This November, a massive corporate-funded campaign succeeded in killing a ballot initiative to require labeling of food products that contain GMOs. Here's the story from the San Jose Mercury News, November 7, somewhat condensed by me. Proposal to label genetically modified foods is defeated. Proposition 37, which would have required labeling of genetically modified foods, was soundly defeated Tuesday. The measure trailed 53% to 47%. Proposition 37 advocates relied on social media and a strong grassroots campaign in hopes of making California the first state in the nation to require a genetically modified label on a host of food products, from breakfast cereals to tofu. But supporters were outgunned by a highly organized no campaign, which poured $46 million into defeating Proposition 37 and blanketed the state with advertising. St. Louis-based Monsanto, a leading maker of genetically engineered seeds, was the largest single contributor with $8.1 million. The Yes campaign raised $9.2 million. Sidebar comment, $9.2 million versus $46 million for the corporate No campaign. Back to the text. The No on 37 campaign argued that the measure was flawed and misguided, quote-unquote, messaging that appeared to work. Quote, California family farmers can breathe a little easier today, unquote, said Jamie Johannesson, an Oroville farmer who grows olives and makes olive oil, and was active in the No on 37 campaign. Quote, Prop 37 would have imposed costly new regulations on California family farmers that no other state requires, putting us at a competitive disadvantage. Thankfully, voters understood this and rejected Prop 37 and voted instead to protect family farmers. Unquote. Wow. Can you hear the language of that last quote? No human being talks like that. That is the language of a fancy corporation-serving public relations firm, or the politicians whose scripts they write. Would have imposed costly new regulations on California family farmers that no other state requires, putting us at a competitive disadvantage. Olive farmer, my foot, that man is a walking corporate press release. Okay, enough rhetorical analysis. Let's finish our look today at food versus GMOs with some parts of a new documentary movie on the subject. It's by food activist Gary Null, and it's titled GMO, Ticking Time Bomb. This is a quirky movie, but most of it strikes me as very sound. Many voices speak, and the voices we'll hear today all belong to some solid people with a solid grasp of the biology and the economics and the politics of GMOs. I'll just point out a couple individuals. The man with the Indian accent is Shiv Chopra, PhD, a scientist at Health Canada. The woman with the Indian accent is famed agricultural ecologist and activist Vandana Shiva, PhD. Let's dive in. Here is a good deal of GMO, Ticking Time Bomb.
The campaign of ignorance that is currently being waged by the FDA is so insidious that the FDA actively opposes the honest labeling of genetically modified foods.
Genetic engineering is a process where scientists take genes from one species and force it into the DNA of other species. Even though there's been very little study on the health dangers, there's been sufficient evidence of harm to cause the American Academy of Environmental Medicine to say all doctors should prescribe non-GMO diets to everyone. They say that the animal feeding studies link GMOs to reproductive problems, immune system problems, accelerated aging, organ damage, gastrointestinal distress, dysfunctional regulation of cholesterol and insulin, to name a few.
These genetic systems, just in the last 5 years, have been shown of all higher plants and animals are far, far more complex than ever was believed. And so it turns out that in the splicing process, that mutations occur and can cause immune system problems. And this has been the biggest problem and has been shown a number of times.
An immune response is a reaction to something that's foreign that the body doesn't recognize and tries to push out. By definition, genetically modified foods have something foreign. When genetically modified soybeans were fed to rodents, we've seen changes in the testicles changing from pink to blue, changes in the sperm cells, changes in the uterus and ovaries, in the DNA functioning of the embryo offspring. We've seen smaller babies, a death rate that's 5 times that compared to controls. Sterile babies, even babies with hair growing in their mouths. And this has been done by government scientists as well as independent scientists who are at the top of their field.
American people are beginning to become more aware and wake up to the fact that their government has been corrupted by corporations and the food that they're feeding themselves has possibly serious human health risks.
The 1992 policy of the FDA claims that the agency is not aware of any information showing that GMOs are significantly different. And on the basis of that sentence, they said no testing was necessary, no labeling was necessary, and companies like Monsanto, that makes most of the genetically modified food products, they can determine if their genetically modified foods are safe. The most common reason why they genetically engineer crops is so that they don't die when sprayed with herbicide.
No genetically modified crop can grow unless it's attached to some kind of a pesticide. Those pesticides, more and more, are in these plants. They may have killed the weeds, they may have killed the insects, but the product is still on the plants, and if it's washed off, then it's in the water, it gets into the lakes, it gets into the oceans, it's everywhere. And it's toxic, it causes cancer, it also causes endocrine disruption. That's a technical term for change of hormones. They don't even want to label that this is genetically modified. The milk is genetically modified, or the crop is genetically modified. They say, if we label that, we won't be able to sell it because people won't buy it. Of course, people won't buy it because people don't want it.
The reason why we have 170 million acres of genetically engineered corn and soybeans and cotton and canola oil and sugar beets in the United States is because it doesn't have to be labeled. In the European Union, where labeling is required, there's almost no genetically engineered food on store shelves and restaurants. There's almost none of it planted.
Today, more than 50 countries around the world allow labeling of genetically engineered foods.
The FDA came out with its infamous policy stating that genetically engineered foods are substantially equivalent to non-genetically engineered foods. The person in charge of labeling policy at that time was Michael Taylor, who had previously worked as an attorney and lobbyist for Monsanto. After Taylor left the FDA in the early 90s, he went back to Monsanto and then came back to the FDA.
The FDA has argued at Codex meetings that the average consumer is too ignorant to recognize the difference between a GMO-labeled food and a non-GMO-labeled food, and they'd make the wrong choice. And that's their stated reason for opposing GMO labeling.
The UN Food Safety Standards Setting Organization, that's jointly run by the World Health Organization and the Food and Agriculture Organization, that's called Codex Alimentarius. There was an 8-year process where all the countries in the world came together and talked about whether there should be safety assessments for genetically engineered crops, genetically engineered animals, and genetically engineered microorganisms. We went to all these meetings over 8 years. There's now global agreement that there should be required safety testing for these crops before they come on the market. And you know what? The U.S. does not require that.
As the chemical seed package has spread, and now with genetically engineered seed, seed that originally was free in India because it belonged to the farmers, or was low cost because it was released from the public sector universities that did seed breeding. In the genetic engineering revolution, these seeds are now patented property of one corporation called Monsanto. Cotton seed used to cost 5 rupees, 7 rupees a kilogram. When Monsanto entered with its BT cotton, it shot the price up to 3,600 rupees a kilogram for seed.
The US government was forced to spend $3 to $5 billion per year to prop up the prices of the GM crops that no one else wanted. The White House decided to fast-track biotechnology because they thought it would increase U.S. exports and U.S. domination of the food supply. But the opposite happened. And so the U.S. government was forced to spend $3 to $5 billion per year to prop up the prices of the GM crops that no one else wanted. So instead of admitting that they were a failure and withdrawing them, they've been trying to push open the markets, bullying other countries. George Bush filed a lawsuit essentially with the World Trade Organization against Europe, saying that their rejection of genetically modified foods was an illegal trade barrier. We know from WikiLeaks that the entire State Department apparatus has been used to try and push GMOs into other countries. In fact, the U.S. ambassador to France suggested that the United States create a hit list to retaliate against those players in Europe that were rejecting GMOs. Over and over again, the U.S. government has proved that their agenda is to promote biotechnology at any cost.
The GMO standards are being passed at the Codex level because frankly, through lies. They're telling them that they're safe crops, that they're safe food products. They don't need to be labeled. We've been fighting for years to get mandatory labeling of GMO foods. We almost succeeded. But what happened is at the last Codex meeting in Geneva is that the U.S. tried to force this issue and actually called for a vote of this issue, and they lost. They actually lost because they wanted to use it as a bargaining chip for WTO, World Trade Organization, trade dispute to ram GMO foods down the mouths of the European Union, China, and Russia, and they lost.
NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, it basically forced corn that was largely genetically engineered into Mexico and took a couple of million farmers off the land because they couldn't compete with U.S. subsidized corn. And so the amount of the millions of metric tons that was pushed into Mexico, some of it was planted and it's genetically engineered and it has cross-pollinated with the indigenous corn varieties in Mexico, which are the source of the genetic diversity of corn in the world. So it's a treasure that has been polluted.
In India, 250,000 farmers have committed suicide because they cannot sustain input costs.
The majority of farm suicides in India are in the cotton belt. 84%, according to our study done in Vidarbha, are linked to purchase of BT cotton seeds. So we call these seeds of suicide. The poor people, the poor small peasant, was wiped out right in the beginning because they couldn't afford these chemicals.
The most comprehensive analysis of GMOs shows that they actually reduce yield. But sustainable technologies, they can increase yield by an average of 79%. GMOs are stealing the money away from these more appropriate technologies.
The ISTAD report proved that organic and sustainable agriculture had the same and higher yields than conventional, chemical-intensive, genetically engineered crops. These herbicides are actually having a major impact in killing the beneficial soil microorganisms in the soil as a result of the loss of beneficial soil microorganisms. Not only have the yields gone down, but there's been a dramatic increase in the rise of crop diseases, which are infecting corn and soybeans in the U.S.
And there we end our selection of GMO Ticking Time Bomb, and end today's rather roundabout discussion of GMOs. Again, the moral of the story is, whenever possible, stay away from any series of initials that ends in M-O. That includes HMOs and GMOs and anything from Monsanto, whose corporate empire is based in the city of St. Louis, M-O. So, on that note of alphabet soup, I bid you farewell, and I thank you for listening to New World Notes. Our website is newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Illegitimi non carborundum. Eat your broccoli. Please tune in again next week. And, in both spellings of the word, ciao.